Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wonner Podcast, the podcast where we break down movies and give our reviews all in one take. I'm Austin Archer, and with me, as always, is my childhood next-door neighbor and best friend,
Kramer England.
All right. And we are here. I have a shirt that says Petey on it, but that's not my name. That's just a band that I like. We're talking about the most rated R movie that Disney has ever made. I don't know if they have they ever made a rated R movie before.
Okay, or so Disney's never made a rated. Technically, I guess this still isn't.
It's a Marvel movie.
So Disney has had various companies, right? They had Hollywood Pictures and they had. Oh, did they own Miramax at one point? Anyway, they had a few different like other companies that had different names, and those movies would be rated R, I think. But this is, yeah, it's not. This is their most rated R movie by far, I feel like.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that makes sense. I just realized that my gain was like turned down a lot for the beginning of that's fine. Who cares? I just turned it back up.
Sure, levels are good.
Yeah, I should have checked my levels before we started, but it's fine. Whatever. Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah, you know, this movie is, I think it already has set the record as the highest grossing international box office for a rated R film. It beat the long, like 20 year long record previously held by The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's film.
Yep.
And
it's going to hit $1 billion this weekend.
Yeah, this movie could make $1.5 billion, potentially even $2 billion at the box office before it leaves, which is wild. You know, people keep saying the movies are back, and like, you know, Inside Out, I think, made close to $2 billion, is the highest grossing Pixar film of all time. Inside Out 2, I should say. And here we have, in the same summer, just a few months later, the same production company, Disney, but this time Disney Marvel instead of Disney Pixar, just knocking it out of the park. At the box office, audiences seem to be really pleased with this film. The audience aggregators across the internet are very positive. Critics are mostly positive, giving it, you know, about an 8 out of 10 in the aggregate with critics. But yeah, let's do what we do. Let's break down the plot here. Obviously, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about a movie that's still in theaters. Who knows if it will be by the time we publish this, but it probably will be.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will be, hopefully.
So spoilers, let's talk about the plot.
Spoilers.
Sean Levy's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes. Okay, so it opens up. First of all, you see the big Marvel logo and you see Deadpool in the letters, and then Deadpool starts singing the actual Marvel song. A ton of fourth wall breaking, which I loved.
Yeah, if you've seen any of the Deadpool movies, it's but I feel like this one had like at least 3 times as much fourth wall breaks as one and two put together.
I agree there, but it works so well because of what it was.
Yeah.
Because the fact that it is, it was in Fox and now it's in Disney, like even though Disney bought Fox. So, but it was very necessary and I was expecting it. So it did not bother me. I actually enjoyed it.
And just to say really quick, this is something that some critics who don't like the movie don't like about it, is they feel like it's not so much a movie as it is just this meta commentary on the state of superhero movies in general. And I can see why people wouldn't like that, but I kind of think that that's cool. At a place where a lot of people have superhero movie fatigue, to have this movie and this character who's capable of breaking the fourth wall and talking about films to just be like, this is kind of a movie about where superhero movies are. Currently are and especially where this very famous superhero movie franchise is and it's sort of a story about, you know, as you said, X-Men that kicked this all off in the year 2000 in the 20th Century Fox Marvel Cinematic Universe and the melding of those universes.
Anyway, okay, so we start and it gets in. He starts talking about how this is going to pretty much destroy Logan. Like they want to keep it sacred, but they're not going to. So he's digging up Wolverine because he's like, well, he shouldn't be dead. Finds him dead. And he's like, it's just his bones. And he's, you know, he starts talking as Hugh Jackman, not Wolverine, as Hugh Jackman in an Australian accent, which was great. He has this huge fight with the TVA, and which starts
this opening fight scene is so good.
It set the tone for me. And I was totally in. He's murdering all the TVA agents set to Bye 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 by NSYNC.
with the bones, with the adamantium bones of Logan.
Yes, he's killing them with adamantium bones. He's doing the dance, the actual, you know, the choreographed dance. I don't know if that was him or if, but either way, it was whoever was dancing.
I buy that's Ryan Reynolds.
I buy it too. I want to think that that's what it was. I'm sure we can do some digging.
He's like jamming femurs through guys' skulls and stuff like that. It is incredibly gory. Like right off the bat, they're like, this movie is very violent.
Yes, very violent. Very, very.
Yeah.
And so, but he does get the claws on.
Yeah.
And he opens them or whatever, he gets them to come out, and then he's like, hey, we got to go back to see what's going on with this. There's a great opening, just kind of sets the tone.
It's also kind of a fun way, because like a lot of fans were going, how are they going to deal with Logan, which felt like such a perfect way to send Hugh Jackman off as Wolverine. It was like, you can't ever bring him back. That's such a good movie, and it's such a good way to say goodbye. Yeah. And in true Deadpool fashion, they go like, the way that we're going to pay tribute to that is by just desecrating that. by immediately kind of go, because that's the thing of Deadpool and Wolverine in the comics, is they have an adversarial relationship. Like they don't like each other. And because Deadpool's a goofball and a class clown, and Wolverine's very serious.
And they play that up so well in this movie. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, he goes back. We see him having an interview with Happy Hogan, played by Jon Favreau, who pretty much set this, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of got that going. Anyway, it was fun to have him back. The scene was funny, but also kind of serious. He talks about he really wants to have a purpose. He really wants to be somebody important. And that really,
he's interviewing to be an Avenger. He's trying to be. Yeah. And also this is something I had to talk with my friend that I went and saw it with afterward. Cause I was like, okay, so they tell us that he has somehow he's used like cables, time traveling, which I guess is also a dimension traveling device from Deadpool 2, to travel to the main timeline, which I believe is 616, the main MCU timeline, in the year 2018, before the events of Avengers Endgame. And that's where he's having this interview, because it says like Earth 616, 2018.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah. And so that's important context too, to know like, okay, so he's trying to be an Avenger in the time where, you know, Iron Man's still around, Captain America's still around, all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I don't know if I caught that. And I didn't catch that, but either way, he's wanted the nice thing that this scene does, it's pretty funny, especially he cracks some pretty funny jokes, like what's your superpower, parallel parking, you know, which I thought was hilarious. Anyway, but the biggest thing that this scene does is sets up what Deadpool wants, and he goes back to it the whole movie, which I actually thought was really well done. Like structurally, you get the story. There's enough story here that it you know, is more than just the jokes. It's more than just the breaking the fourth wall. He actually has a want and he has a desire, and they set it up in this scene pretty well, and they hit it pretty hard. So anyway,
he wants to matter. He wants to be taken seriously as a superhero. Yeah.
So he leaves. Happy Hogan's like, no, just aim for the middle. You know, you don't have to be anything special. And then we find out he's selling cars, and he's selling a Kia. And he hates Odysseys, which I thought that was hilarious, because we just sold the Honda Odyssey, and everything he said about the Honda Odyssey is true. Anyway, but
I couldn't get away from thinking though, like they're doing a very obvious product placement here though. And it feels like it's a product placement somehow for both. Like that they must have gotten money both from Kia and Honda.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just have Honda's product in there and crap all over it in your movie.
Yeah. It was funny because they drive a Honda later. But anyway, he's selling cars. He's like, you know, obviously not satisfied. He goes and there's a surprise party for him, and all his friends are there. And you see his girlfriend is there, but they're not together. You know, the girlfriend from the past two movies, they're not together. And he really wants to matter to her.
What we learned at the end of Deadpool 2, if people will remember, is that he used Cable's time traveling thing to save all of his friends. So he saves his girlfriend at the end of Deadpool 2, and he also saves all of X-Force, which is like one of my favorite sequences from Deadpool 2.
So funny.
But so now all of his X-Force friends. And also they live in a timeline that's like Earth 1005 or something.
Yeah, it's like 10,005.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they the universe that Deadpool has occupied for Deadpool 1, 2, and 3 is a different Earth than Earth 616, which is the main MCU timeline.
Yes. Yeah. So they're at the party. He gets a knock on the door and it's the TVA. And he goes into this extremely crass monologue about, you know, all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're like, they have no idea what he's talking about. They pull him in to their door. If you've seen Loki, they pull him into the TVA. And he wakes up, you know, and they're like, oh, you soiled yourself. And he's like, oh, I wasn't asleep when that happened. Anyway, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, he goes, while you were unconscious, you soiled yourself. And he goes, I wasn't unconscious. Great line.
What is this? Yeah. Yeah. And so then he meets, I should remember his name. What is that character's name?
So the actor is Matthew McFadden, who's Matthew McFadden. Yes. He's the guy who plays Tom Wanscans in Succession on HBO. Great actor. I can't remember what I want to say his name. Paradox.
Yeah. Like Mr. Paradox.
Yeah. Here, Mr. Paradox.
Mr. Paradox. I apologize for not writing that down.
Yeah.
So he meets Mr. Paradox. And he's like, hey, guess what? You're going to matter. Like, we want you to be a part of the Avengers. And Deadpool is so happy.
A part of the MCU, the main MCU. They give him a really flashy new Deadpool suit, and it looks really good. It's like the best looking suit he's had in any of the movies. Essentially, they're already saying, like, being in the MCU, you're going to have cooler costumes, cooler weapons than you ever had in the 20th Century Fox universe.
And he, which his suiting up scene is so funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it just totally plays on all the tropes.
It keeps showing his butt and showing his the tailor looking at his butt. And like, it's kind of making fun of the Joel Schumacher Batman very universe, where Joel Schumacher, for whatever reason, decided to do all of these jiggling close-ups of like George Clooney's butt. And
Val Kilmer. Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they play on that, which was hilarious. He comes out and he's like, oh, I look good. And he, you know, I can't remember if this happened at this point or before, but he sees all these TVs of all these other superheroes, like, and he sees Thor crying over him dying. And the whole joke is, why is Thor crying? And anyway, so he sees all these different scenarios of worlds that he's lived in. And anyway, they're like, okay, you know, he's like, well, when am I going to be an Avenger? And then Mr. Paradox is like, no, I don't think you get it. We're going to destroy your timeline and let you live in the sacred timeline. And he's like, so all your friends, he's like, I have this time ripper and we're going to destroy it very, very quickly because I don't want to wait for this to be destroyed. And so Deadpool's like, okay. So he has a decision, right? He has to make a decision what he's going to do.
And the reason is that timelines have an anchor being, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And so
Logan was the anchor being. Yeah. And Logan died.
From the movie Logan, that particular version of Logan, it was the anchor being for Deadpool's timeline. And when he dies, it makes that timeline disintegrate. This is a little bit of weird screenwriting, in my opinion. That
I
like,
agree.
Every timeline has an anchor being, and when they die, their timeline disintegrates. I'm like, but every person dies. So like, how is that possible that there's, I feel like they could have maybe finessed that a little bit better.
They could have
in the screenplay, but
they could have. Absolutely. But anyway, Mr. Paradox doesn't want to wait for it to disintegrate or whatever. So he's going to destroy it. So, and I think we kind of hinted on this, but basically the universe that he's in is the Fox universe. Mm-hmm. And that one's going to die because Logan died. So anyway, he's like, he makes a choice, and it seems like he's going to choose to, you know, just live on this other planet, but he doesn't. He breaks Mr. Paradox's nose, and then he chooses to go and find another Wolverine. And then we have this extended sequence where he goes to all the different variants of the Wolverine. And he gets the comic accurate one that's really, really short, which was really funny. And then he gets all the different Wolverine characters. He meets a bunch of different ones, obviously playing off of all the comics and all the different variations that they have of Wolverine,
including one played by Henry Cavill, which is kind of a fan favorite.
Cavalrine, right?
Yeah, the Cavalrine. And Henry Cavill looks good as like he's jacked.
He does.
He looks mean and beastly.
He does.
as Wolverine.
Wouldn't be a bad choice if they wanted that one. But anyway,
you know what I was wishing they would have done? I was wishing they would have had one timeline where Doug Ray Scott was Wolverine.
That would have been awesome. You know? I didn't even think about that, but I would have loved that.
That would have been cool because Doug
Ray should have been a sad Wolverine.
Yeah,
because he couldn't, because he never got the chance.
Yeah, like, Doug Ray Scott, if you don't know, is the bad guy from the movie Mission Impossible 2, and he was the original person cast to be Wolverine before Hugh Jackman took over.
Yeah, and so, I think I need to look at the story. I think they kind of were trying to get him out of that role, and he kind of decided anyway.
Yeah,
Doug Ray Scott was supposed to be Wolverine. Very interesting. That would have been a great one.
Yeah.
That would have been a really great one to have that. That would have been, oh man, I would have loved that. Anyway, so he goes through, he finds one Wolverine that's really just kind of given up on life. And he's like, well, you're not trying to fight me, fight back. So I'll take you. So he takes this Wolverine. He sees that he has a suit on. He takes him back to the TVA. Wolverine shows up in his yellow and blue suit, which looks great.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. It's fun to see Hugh Jackman in the actual suit that he probably should have been wearing for a long time.
Yeah.
He takes him back to the TVA and they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, this is your anchor being. He can live on here. And he's like, Mr. Paradox is like, oh, well, not only did you not find us a good Wolverine, you found us the worst Wolverine. He let all of his friends die. So he's never going to be an anchor being, which, you know, again, sets up the. I'm backtracking a little bit. Right, once he decides to go find the Wolverines, I think that's the end of act one. We're into act two. We go back to the TVA, the fight scene where he has claws and he gets them stuck in two TVA guys, which was so funny. He stabs them and they don't come out. I imagine they hit bone or whatever, but anyway, he kills all of them and then he goes on this quest. So when he comes back, we're already in act two. And he's got Wolverine and they're like, oh, you're never gonna, you know, this is never gonna happen. He's never gonna be the anchor being. And Deadpool's like, well, I beg to differ, whatever. He gets sent into the void and so does Wolverine. They both get sent into the void again. Another, yeah, it's using those area. Little
pruning,
yeah,
like, pruning, you know, like almost sticks. like tasers that the TVA agents use to send people into the time void or whatever it is. It's just sort of this desolate place that if you've watched Loki season one or season two, then you're familiar with.
You'll know
what happens if people get pruned.
Yeah, right? They go down there, and basically they get eaten, or they have to avoid this big dragon. It's like smoke dragon. I forget his name.
There's a really fun. As soon as they get there, they have like a fight because they're mad at. They get in a really great our first good, you know, Wolverine versus Deadpool fight. And there's a fun little wink at the, you know, fourth wall break of like the giant 20th Century Fox
sign.
Sign is buried, half buried in the sand.
And he's like, void. Oh, may you rest in peace, you know? And
he
basically says like, all right, we're going to give it to you now. This is going to be the fight. And this fight is awesome. I mean, obviously they can't kill each other. So they get in this, the fight was so much fun because they can't kill each other. They keep shooting. He shoots him like 26 times or something. Deadpool starts off.
I got to say, I was listening to a podcast the other day that was just ragging on this movie. They were just going in on the movie. And one of the things they kept saying is they were like, all of the fight scenes were so poorly choreographed and like just so poorly executed. And I was like, if there's anything this movie does well, it's I think it had from the very jump, from that opening fight scene with the skeleton, every single one of the action sequences in this movie is like stunning and really well choreographed and really well shot.
It wasn't really shaky. It was like, I thought it was done really, really well. Did a lot of speed ramping, slow motion to fast motion, but I loved it. And I do think it was actually really well choreographed. And it was totally, I mean, they can't kill each other. So they're playing this up.
Yeah.
He shoots him a bunch of times, you know, he keeps getting stabbed. But then like Wolverine stands there and all the bullets fall out of his body.
Yeah.
Right. Which was really, really cool. Anyway, they have this really great fight scene and then they just kind of give up because they can't really kill each other. But a bunch of people are coming. It looks a lot like Mad Max. They kind of play that up.
It's funny. We got Sabretooth from the 2000 X-Men. We got
Tyler Mayne.
Do you know if that was Ray Parks as Toad or not? They never really showed a close up. I didn't think so, because they don't show a close up of his face.
Yeah, I saw this thing that talked about all the recast, because they had a lot of the same characters from the 20th Century Fox X-Men movies, but a lot of them were recast. And Toad,
we've got a new actor playing Juggernaut. We've got a new actor playing Toad. But we've got the same Psylocke. Actor playing Pyro, and we've got the same actor playing Sabretooth.
Yes.
For a very brief cameo.
Sabretooth in X-Men, the original X-Men, because then Sabretooth in X-Men Origins Wolverine was played by Liev Schreiber.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, but we've got the original one. So it was funny though, because there's this person and they're like, "Hey, you got to watch out." And he's like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe that this is actually happening."
This was so good.
So funny. So he drops down. It's Chris Evans, and Deadpool is he's like, "Captain," he salutes him. He's so excited. And then he's like, okay.
He's also like, "Hey, you're going to hear a lot of bad language. I'm so sorry." Cause it's Captain America. And he's even like, got a glove that looks like a red, white and blue glove on. They're really hinting that like, this is Cap, you know? Yep.
He's got like a hood on or whatever, but he comes down. We see it's Chris Evans. And then like Deadpool goes up and just like holds him, like, cause he's so excited. He's like, "I'll follow you anywhere," type thing. And he's like, "Oh, step back. And he's like, "All right, Wolverine, you're about to see something amazing." And he goes, Chris Evans goes, "Flame on." And he lights up in fire. And he is Johnny Storm from the Fantastic Four, which I don't know why I did not think of that at all.
I don't think anyone did, because like,
so funny.
Like, you know, I don't think at this point in the movie we're aware just how much everything that's in the void is from the 20th century universe.
Yes.
Because so much of this movie is about Deadpool's introduction into the MCU. Yes. When we see Chris Evans, we think that's Captain America. Nobody sees Chris Evans in an MCU movie and thinks, could he be Johnny Storm in this movie?
There's a few people, but that's got to be very, very small. And I didn't even think about it.
He's about to like say his magic thing, and Deadpool tries to say it with him. He goes, here it comes. He's going to say it. And Deadpool says, "Avengers assemble," at the same time that Chris Evans says, "Flame on." And then it was so great.
You can see that Deadpool is just so disappointed. Like, what?
Yeah.
What is going on? Like, this is all anyway.
Yeah.
Hilarious. He goes up in his flames. He starts shooting flames at Pyro, and Pyro just basically takes it all. And then he falls. Johnny Storm falls and just like smacks the ground, and they're like, "Well, whatever." And so then Sabretooth gets off, and Deadpool's like, "Everybody's been waiting for this for like 20 years, so this got to be good." Anyway, Wolverine and Sabretooth run at each other. I was a little disappointed because Wolverine just cuts his head off immediately.
Yeah.
And we
got a lot of movie to get through and a lot of cameos. So that I think they're still having fun at this stage in the film going like, "Oh, here it comes, the big showdown, Wolverine and Sabretooth." And instead it's just like, "Nah,
we'll just kill you right away."
Cuts
off his head.
Right. Yeah.
Deadpool holds it up, tries to intimidate everybody. They get a big magnet, and Wolverine smacks into Deadpool. They get knocked out and they chain him up. Anyway, they have like a really funny interaction. They're talking about somebody that they're gonna go see, and Chris Evans is like, "Oh, this person, you don't want to mess with this person. She doesn't mess around." They go to a giant Ant-Man who is like the skeleton of an Ant-Man. The hood opens up and it's like a skeleton in there. He makes a joke that Paul Rudd actually aged, which was pretty funny.
It's interesting because most of what we're seeing in the void are 20th Century Fox, Marvel. But the Ant-Man's kind of the only one. And you have to just assume that it's a version of Ant-Man from a different, not the 616 universe, but from a different universe. But it's like we show up here and we've got all these different characters that we know and all
mainly
these
bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's again, very Mad Max. And we're introduced to our main big bad guy.
Yes. And it's Cassandra Nova, who actually I really liked this character. Mm-hmm. She was very interesting. And she played her very well. So Emma Corrin.
Emma Corrin, who I believe uses they, them pronouns, but
excuse me.
No problem. Yeah.
They did a great job. I mean, yeah. It was, I really liked the character. Cassandra Nova was a very interesting character. And the character was just, it was fun to watch her. It was fun to watch Cassandra Nova. So we're introduced to her, and she is a big bat. She is Charles's twin, who I didn't really, I know that there's a lot of lore, but she's Charles Xavier's twin. But she was sent off and was kind of like put in the void right when she was born. So she's always been there, but she's extremely powerful.
And this is the thing that, like, I think, again, there's so many characters, so many cameos, so much movie for this movie to kind of like grapple with. This is something that, like, I felt like the movie could have done a little bit more to tell the audience why she is evil. The movie just sort of is like, hey, she had to be banished to the void because she's bad. And then we meet her and she's just like, I'm really bad. And, you know, I'm whatever. I feel like I'm sort of used to superhero movies doing that, just telling me this character's bad because they are.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's sort of like Kate Blanchett's character in Thor Ragnarok. They're just like, she's just the bad sibling.
Yeah.
She's just, you know, she's the one that's, you know.
But the funny thing about these two characters, the Hela and Cassandra Nova, they're pretty much the same like that. But the way that the actors played them, and just the characters themselves were interesting, that I am okay. Like, because the character was interesting, it wasn't just like a flat generic bad guy. They had something interesting about them. I was fine with it, but I totally agree. They could have done a little bit better job.
I'm all right with a superhero movie just telling me, hey, this is the bad, especially a Deadpool movie. Just going, hey, this is the bad villain in this movie. Cause that's not really the point of the movie. It's not like, sometimes the movie is about the villain's goal. Like, you know, you've got Warmonger in Black Panther, or you've got Thanos, or you've got where it's a lot about what that character's trying to do.
Exactly.
But sometimes in a superhero movie, it's about the heroes. And so this movie is about Deadpool and this particular version of Wolverine figuring out how to become relevant and have purpose again and and redeem themselves. It's not so much about what Cassandra Nova wants or, you know, is after.
Exactly.
I think it would have been nice if the movie could have figured out a way to flesh that out for the audience just a touch more, but I don't need it to buy into the fact that she is our main threat. And the movie does a very good job making her incredibly menacing and making her powers very scary.
Yes.
This thing, this little moment with Johnny Storm is so hilarious and again, like, so intensely gory.
Yes, but like, so Deadpool's like, hey, he's saying all this stuff about you, and he just goes on like this he talks about all these horrible things that Johnny Storm's calling him. Johnny's like, I don't even know how to use those words.
It's a very Ryan Reynolds rant. Like, like Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool goes on this rant about all this bad stuff that Johnny Storm said about Cassandra Nova while they were driving over there. But it's everything sounds like it's something Deadpool would say.
Yes, and, it is. And anyway, so she's like, yeah, that's what he said. And then she's like, she rips his skin off and he becomes... He has no skin, and he like blinks a couple times and like looks around, and he just falls apart.
Yeah, he is just a mass of guts and muscles and blood and bones.
So funny, because it was like, what the heck was that? But it also established Cassandra Nova as like, she's crazy. Like, she'll rip your skin off.
She does a thing that in certain sequences, the CGI of this I thought was executed pretty well. And other times it felt a little iffy,
a little weird,
where she puts her hand inside of people's heads and skulls and her fingers will kind of come out their eyes or out their nose holes.
Yeah.
And in a couple sequences, it's pretty disturbing, particularly when she has her hand in Matthew McFadden's head later on. And you can see her fingers and knuckles kind of dragging across his cheeks.
Yeah.
But like,
and she carries him by the head, which
in Deadpool's mask, I think it doesn't work as well because he's already got the weird white eyes. Yeah. And then when her fingers cut, it just, but it's a pretty cool idea of her.
It is cool. She has to actually reach. She has to reach into their head to get their memories. Like, she can't see them unless she touches them like in their head, I guess. So, but then we get a flashback of Deadpool and his girlfriend, and she's like trying to get him out of this funk. And they're just obviously not communicating well. But again, Deadpool takes this as like, I need to be better and I need to be a better person. So that's kind of why he's got this feeling of he needs to matter. So yeah. we see that scene, which is it was good. And then Wolverine comes up behind Cassandra Nova, stabs her in the chest, lifts her up, and you're like, she's like, oh, and then she just like pushes him off and she's fine.
Magneto's him.
Like, I do have to say, the big smoke dragon comes. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name. The big smoke dragon comes.
Is it Parallax or is it? No, Parallax
is a different one.
That's a different
from Green Lantern, I think.
Yeah. It's the nothing from the Neverending Story, and it's coming to consume you.
It's coming, and then she's like, "Oh, you better watch out!" And then they just kind of like escape. I was like, "That's pretty cheap." Like, they get on the leg of a sentinel and they fly away, but whatever, I can forgive it. They get out pretty easily, but then they crash land and they run into a dog pool, and Deadpool is very affectionate with dog pool. And then they find Nice Pool, who is Ryan Reynolds with really, really long hair. And he's
and
very,
no burns.
Very nice.
He has long hair and he's quite effeminate. It's very, very queer coded, this character.
Very funny,
Nice
though.
Pool. They don't say the sexual orientation of this character, but it feels like,
well, I mean, Deadpool talks about his all the time. So you're pretty easy to infer.
And
what
Deadpool
he's doing,
is a like openly queer character in comic books and stuff like that. Yeah. But this Nice Pool character is like, it's Ryan Reynolds, you know, with long hair and like a little, earring and, and he's got gold plated guns that
gold-plated,
are really cool.
Desert Eagle arrows or, Desert Eagles are really good. Yeah. Anyway, he's like, oh, you guys, I can't remember what they're trying to get, but he's like, oh, if you need a ride, like I can take you to this place. And like, you guys can take my car, and it's a Honda Odyssey. So funny. They take his car and they're driving, and then Deadpool says like, oh, and then, once we get you back, we'll figure out if they can save your world. And this sets off Wolverine, and he like stops the car. He's pissed. He's like, he stabs Deadpool in the leg. And he said, what did you just say? And they have this exchange, and he says, he said, I didn't lie to you. I made it an educated wish. Wolverine's pissed off. Deadpool says, listen, these are the only people that I care about. And you're the only one that can save them. Right. He continues to kind of say what his motivations are. And then they have, which I thought was probably the coolest fight scene in the movie. They get pissed off at each other and they just beat the crap out of each other in the Honda Odyssey. I don't know why I love fight scenes in enclosed spaces like this.
Yeah.
Like, In Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they do a funny thing with minivan too, and they have like these fight scenes. Also in The Matrix Reloaded, they have a really cool fight scene in the car. And this fight scene was so cool. And
it's so,
so
well
choreographed.
I can't imagine watching that and saying it's poorly choreographed or poorly executed. I thought it was amazing. And also,
oh, so funny.
Like what I've heard a few critics say is, well, there's no stakes when Deadpool and Wolverine fight each other. But I just go, okay, so it's
emotional stakes in the fact that they can't kill each other and they want to.
And so they're really just taking out their frustration on each other. And also there's the sort of comedic element of like Deadpool is sort of the character that always he can do really cool stuff and acrobatic stuff, but then he'll also kind of get hurt in funny ways during the fight. The way in the choreography that they keep finding to reinvent, to have Deadpool surprise you with how acrobatic he is and how talented he is, but also to show that Wolverine's more than just punching and anger, that Wolverine is crafty too.
Yeah.
And having these two guys just absolutely go at each other. And then I love seeing the aftermath when we finally get to, it's like they fight for like a full 24 hours. And then finally we see them. They're both just passed out in the car because they've just basically punched each other into a coma, and Deadpool's wrapped up in all of the seat belts.
Oh, that is so funny. Yeah. They basically tuckered themselves out. You see some person coming into the frame, and then they wake up in this lair. And
this is my favorite part of the entire movie.
And they're kind of talking. Anyway, the first people that show up, they wake up and they see Elektra, which is Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
They see Blade, played by Wesley Snipes.
Blade.
Which Ryan Reynolds was in Blade Trinity.
We're going to talk about a thing that happens at the end of this movie, but I was surprised they didn't. So they show all these scenes.
I was surprised too.
At the end of this movie, I couldn't believe they didn't show scenes of Ryan Reynolds and Wesley Snipes and Blade Trinity.
I actually thought it was really funny that he never made a reference.
I can't believe they didn't reference it.
If he did, I missed it. If he made a reference to the fact that because his name, I think it was Hannibal Kane or Hannibal, I forget his name, but
I didn't hear a single reference to Blade Trinity and I couldn't believe it.
It could be the fact, I mean, he always makes reference to Green Lantern because he kind of doesn't like that movie, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe he liked this one. Maybe he just did. I don't know why they didn't, but they decided not to reference the fact that he was in that movie too.
But, when Blade walked on screen in my theater, it was the loudest audience reaction I've heard probably since all three Spider-Men were on screen in No Way Home, like in an MCU movie. My theater went crazy. My friend Carlton that I went and saw the movie with jumped up out of his seat and said, let's go.
I love when theaters are like that. I saw it on a Monday night. It was the only time I could see it. And so everybody was kind of like, oh, wow. But nobody was that excited. But it's so fun when people get that excited.
Yeah.
I was excited. It had been spoiled for me, unfortunately. So I was like,
yeah.
But it was cool to see. Blade 2 is a great movie. Blade 1 is great. Blade Trinity was not great.
Blade Trinity's not great. No. But I was not expecting Wesley Snipes to show up in this movie.
I wasn't either. But then Channing Tatum shows up as Gambit.
Tatum's great. He's.
I've got to say, he pulled it off because he made it comedic. I wonder if he tried to be serious. I don't know if he would pull it off, but it worked well for this movie.
Honestly, I don't think people because there are actually people commenting on this movie online going, saying Channing Tatum was terrible in this movie. You couldn't understand a single word he said. And it's like, that's talked about it in the film. Also, if you've ever watched the X-Men 90s cartoon, that's not far off from what that character's voice sounded
like. He's Cajun.
And a lot of people are going, actually, real Cajun accents are even less intelligible than that. So he's actually, but they comment on it in the movie. Ryan Reynolds is constantly saying
dialogue
things
coach?
Who taught you this dialect?
Yeah.
But they're really having a lot of fun with it. Channing Tatum's really chewing up the scenery. And this is another one of those kind of just fan references where there was, Channing Tatum was at one point was cast as Gambit in a Gambit movie that never happened.
Yep.
So this is sort of a redemption thing for him.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I do have to say, very comic book accurate costume. Didn't love it. I might be in the minority here, but the face, everything else was fine. But the face thing for some reason in live action just did not really work for me. It just looked really, it made his face look fat.
Sorry if
you don't agree. It's totally fine. Everything else I really loved, but that the face was the
I've seen some online redesigns where they trim up where they bring in the sides and it looks a little better. And sometimes these concepts that look really good on a cartoon just don't look good. I think that's the whole thing about the Wolverine costume is they never thought they could pull off yellow and blue spandex with tiger stripes on the rib cage.
Yeah.
And I really think that this movie, they do their best to say, we're going to try to give you these characters the way that they were when you grew up, the way that they looked in the cartoon that you grew up and loved. Yeah. I also really liked when X-23, or I can't remember what her character, X-23, when she walked in, I wasn't expecting that. And I was actually happy to see her. I was like, oh, that's good.
That was one that they kind of gave up early. She was promoting the film. So they kind of said that. And I think they had a promo that she was in. So I was expecting her. But it was great. I was happy to see her, too. I'm glad that they brought her back. I think that actually added a lot to the actual story.
And it also is a nice way to say we're not just, making fun of the Logan movie. We're also, honoring how good of a movie that is. Because it is a great movie. It is
a great movie. Yeah. Yeah. So she comes in and she's like, she knew Wolverine, obviously. So they basically have this whole conversation. They're going to break into Cassandra Nova's lair and they're going to get, they have to get Juggernaut's helmet to put on Cassandra Nova. So they're like, oh yeah, we're going to get it. And Logan doesn't want to do it. It's pretty funny. He goes out. And then Logan and X-23 have a conversation And Logan kind of explains, like, oh, I let all of the X-Men die. Humans got excited, you know, they got mad and they killed everybody. And I wasn't there because I was stubborn. He's like, I wear this suit so that it reminds me all the time that I did this.
I thought this was actually, this is one of my favorite pieces of writing and character development for this version of yes. Wolverine yeah. in the film, because it's a big plot point in the film that, like, he's wearing the yeah. costume from the cartoon. And when Ryan Reynolds, when Deadpool first finds this version of Wolverine, when he's doing the montage of all the yeah. different Wolverines through the multiverse, he finds this guy who's wearing regular clothes in a bar. And when the guy passes out, he looks under his clothes and sees that he's got yes. this costume on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he makes a comment about how he finally looks like he's not embarrassed to be in a superhero movie. But yeah. then this Wolverine tells this story. He said, I never wanted to wear this costume.
Yes.
In the universe that he's from, Scott and Jean and, you know, Charles, they would always try to convince him, and Storm, they would try to convince him to wear this yellow and blue costume. So yes. presumably he's in, like, he's from the live action universe that's the most similar to the 90s cartoon.
Yes.
And he felt like he didn't want to be a part of the team. He didn't want to wear the costume. And when his team died and he felt like he failed them, he put on the costume and he refuses to take it off now as yes. like a way to both honor them and also to it's yes. just sort of tied to his guilt and his shame. And I thought that yeah. that was a really cool character detail.
I agree. Know? And I think I love Hugh Jackman. I mean, obviously this is the fact that his first, you know, big role was Wolverine, and
yeah.
I loved him since I was a kid, but I love his range. I love the fact that he can play these extremely, manly characters, or, you know, but then he also plays, he'll sing in musicals. He'll do all this yeah. stuff. Anyway, I love Hugh Jackman, and he does a great job. I think he pulls this part off. I think a lesser yeah. actor wouldn't have been able to really pull it off, but because yeah. he's such like a, whenever he cries, like he's great. So he does a great job in this scene. It works. And I do like that they gave that costume meaning, like yeah. it meant something to him. So really good job in the,
they give it a reason to be in the movie exactly. beyond just, this is what the fans want to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they gave it some meaning. So anyway, she's like, she kind of peps him up and she's like, we're going to go in the morning if you want to come. So they're all driving the next day. They're all driving in the Honda Odyssey that's been, you know, destroyed, but they're yeah. driving. They pull up into Cassandra Nova's lair and they all get out. And then Wolverine gets out in the back. And then they have this huge fight scene, which was really fun.
And again, great. Like yeah. when I hear people say, like, the fight scenes were really kind of lackluster, I'm like, that was a great sequence.
Yeah.
We get some really great Blade stuff. We get some really great Gambit stuff.
Yeah.
It was great.
This, in my opinion, this is probably the least fun fight scene just because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
But when they focus on the people, it's great. Like it's fun. When Gambit's he throws all the cards and he blows up all the different guys.
Yeah.
And he's just fighting. So it was a lot of fun, but because there's so much going on, it was, especially in the wide shots, but it still was good. I still loved it. It was a lot of fun. They end up, X-23 ends up killing Juggernaut, but Deadpool and Wolverine go up into Cassandra Nova's wherever she is. And they like are talking to her. She hits Deadpool out of the way. And then she goes up to Wolverine. She throws his hands into the ground, and then she sticks her finger into his head, and they have a whole conversation in this field, and he's talking about his guilt, and she's trying to convert him, like, listen, you can be whoever you want here. You don't have to worry. You can be your worst self, basically. And then he says that he's like, well, I'm distracting you. Deadpool comes up, puts the helmet, Juggernaut's helmet on her, and they kind of subdue her. One thing we forgot to mention was Pyro is actually working for the TVA. So he comes in, and Deadpool and Wolverine are basically like, we need to kill her. And Wolverine's like, no, I can't kill her because Charles wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Charles wouldn't let me do this. Yeah. So his redemption is kind of like he's honoring Charles. Yeah. And then Pyro comes in and shoots her, and she's starting to die. Wolverine punches him. He's out. And then they decide to let her live. And they take off the helmet. She is living, and they kind of have this conversation. She's like, all right, I killed an amateur magician who was Dr. Strange. And she's like, he had this ring on. She has this sling ring. She's like, here you go. You can go back to your world. They jump through the sling ring. They go back to their world. I think at this point, really, we're kind of in the third act. Everything is going to be resolved.
Yes.
Because they're going to stop Mr. Paradox from using the Time Ripper. Okay. They go into their world. And then all the Deadpools show up. There's Headpool. There's Lady Deadpool. I kind of read a bunch of them that were, you know,
this action sequence is the way it's shot is so fun.
Oh, it's so
the,
fun.
There's a whole moment that I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Old Boy.
Yes.
A whole moment that feels like it's a direct reference to Old Boy.
You know what? I didn't think of that. I'm now that you say that, that for sure is that
the side scrolling hallway fight where he's got like 15 guys on him and he's hitting them with a hammer and beating them back. And Wolverine does that with like 15 Deadpools and he's just punched, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great.
Well, and it starts out with Nice Pool coming.
Yeah. this was so like Hot Shots part duh. Like this was like this was straight up like Airplane Hot Shots humor. It's so good.
He uses him as a human shield
because he figures he can regenerate.
Yeah, he's like, how did I know he couldn't regenerate? Anyway, Nice Pool just destroyed.
We find out that Nice Pool doesn't have regenerative healing, and Deadpool's been using him as a shield, as a
human shield.
Yeah.
And anyway, so here's the fight. They side scroll. I love it. At one point, which I thought was so cool, and I don't know why, they all go off screen and the camera's just rolling. And then everybody comes back on screen and they're still fighting. They go through the bus. He's shooting all these Deadpools in the head.
Is amazing because you're sort of seeing a little bit what's happening, but you're seeing blood kind of hit the windows.
Yeah.
And then they have it's a CGI shot and I didn't care at all because it's like for a moment, the movie just gives you this perfect comic book image of Deadpool and Wolverine jumping out the back window.
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, we forgot to mention at the start of this fight scene, the coolest thing in the movie.
We finally get the mask. Wolverine's mask. He puts it on. He finally, after 24 years, we get
and it
to
looks
see.
Awesome.
It does look really good.
Awesome. Yeah.
I might be in the minority here. Let me know what you think. Okay, he's got the wide eyes.
Uh-huh.
I really wonder what it would look like if you could see his eyes. And I know that this is so weird because Batman, like. Deadpool, for some reason, it's a full face mask. It works. Black Panther, a full face mask. It works. When we see
Spider-Man, full face mask.
When we see Wolverine, I was kind of like, would it be cooler if we could see the expression in his eyes? Because it was kind of a little bit void of expression. Now, having said that, I loved it. It's like childhood fantasy come to life, right? And you see it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
It's hard for me to say because I am personally one of those people that's like, I would like to see a live action Batman with the white eyes, with the, I'd like to see
I could
that.
See that.
And you could justify it by being like, Bruce Wayne has built himself a helmet that has these like bionic eyes that, you know, help him.
In the Dark Knight, you kind of see it.
Yeah,
not as good because it is like it is screens, but anyway,
I'd be interested in seeing that. I just think like when I had completely forgotten that the mask even existed. Like I was just so excited that Hugh Jackman was wearing the yellow and blue outfit the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then when he reached behind him and started, I was like, oh my gosh, he's putting on the mask. He's putting the Wolverine mask on and I thought it looked pretty awesome. And he looks pretty amazing as like
he did.
Cartoon Wolverine.
Yep. You know, with his claws out. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so good to see that the mask worked. And he keeps it on for the most of the rest of the movie. And it works. It looks really, really good.
And again, I think this is an incredibly well choreographed scene and a well shot scene. I've heard a lot of criticism about the way Sean Levy shoots these action sequences and about the fight choreography itself. And I don't understand that. I think it's excellent.
I don't understand it either. The one thing I do have to say that I love is the music selection. One thing we haven't talked about, the music selection in this is all set to Madonna's Like a Prayer. I don't know why. It's funny, but it's also awesome.
Yeah,
and it works so well. And I loved all the fight scenes set to these weird songs.
Yeah,
I actually think it's really, really great.
Anyway, we're in the home stretch now, which is literally something that Deadpool looks out at the audience and says, don't worry, folks, we're in the home stretch. Yeah. So let's wrap this bad boy up.
Yep. They go in rankings. Yep. They have all those. All the Deadpools stop trying to kill Deadpool and Wolverine because Peter shows up. And it was like, we all have a Peter, so they all love him. And then they go, and Cassandra decides that she wants to use the Time Ripper to destroy all the worlds. You know, obviously,
again, like, the movie doesn't really give us enough of, like, why does Cassandra Nova want to end all the world other than just Cassandra Nova is bad? And it's like, okay, sure, but that's fine.
That's
this movie's got a lot of things that it's trying to juggle.
And, it does,
yeah.
So, anyway, she's gonna destroy all the worlds with all the Time Ripper. The only way to save it, Mr. Paradox tells Wolverine and Deadpool, you have to complete the circuit, or you know, so they've got to pull both things. They do try to raise the stakes in saying that if you do this, you will die because it will rip you apart, atom from atom. One of you is going to have to die, whoever does it. So Deadpool and Wolverine's like, I have to do this. Deadpool's like, okay, I guess you can do it. But then Deadpool
It feels like Wolverine's the obvious choice because it's like his home world is gone anyway. He let everybody die. This will help him have redemption.
Yeah.
But Deadpool takes it, you know, shuts the door on him and says, this is my movie. I'm the hero. I'm the one who, you know, and it's also like Deadpool saying, I need to do it. Not for me, but for them, which is a thing that Happy Hogan said to him at the beginning of the movie during his Avengers job interview. Yes. And
So he goes in, he starts to pull one cord. He tries to get to the next cord. He can't really reach it. Wolverine comes in, grabs the cord. They grab hands.
They do a Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
They do it.
And they complete the circuit. There's a huge explosion. And then Mr. Paradox is there and he's like, oh, they saved the day. And then I forget her name, but from Loki, she comes down from the TVA. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, Mr. Paradox, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, well, thank goodness I was here. And these guys saved the day and they were heroes. And he's trying to save his own butt. And then Deadpool and Wolverine show up and they're like, hey, we're fine. You know, you were right. It was going to kill one of us, but it killed Cassandra. We're actually okay.
Which is also this whole thing of like Deadpool being Marvel Jesus in the whole movie. He keeps saying he's Marvel Jesus. And then, you know, he makes the sacrifice play and he comes back and he lives because he's Marvel Jesus, which is funny too. I saw somebody online say it's great that Marvel Jesus literally took the top spot in the international box office from actual Jesus.
That's true. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, they live, they take away Mr. Paradox. And then, you know, Deadpool gets to keep Dogpool, which was kind of a funny runner throughout the movie.
He just is obsessed with Dogpool the entire movie. And he's also been kind of joking that like, he might kill Nicepool in order to get Dogpool from Nicepool. And he accidentally kills Nicepool,
accidentally very... probably kind of on purpose.
Yeah.
But he kills it. Anyway, he gets Dogpool. He decides to take Wolverine up. They meet Blind Al, which we forgot to mention, who is hilarious in this movie. Blind Al was great. And they go and meet, and then all his friends are there, and he kind of gets what he wants. Him and his girlfriend, his old girlfriend, kind of, it's hinted that maybe they could get back together, but
and Logan's there, and they're all friends, and
they're all friends, and he's got a new family. X-23 is there too. And it ends. And then we got to mention a couple things. The first, it's not really a mid-credit scene, but they have a montage set to I Hope You Had the Time of Your Life
by
Green Day. And, you know, it's kind of a joke because all the all the funny things are set to that song, like really trying to pull out the emotion. But it worked for me. And I was like, wow, I'm sad to see this go.
It's quite sincere.
It is.
Like, they're showing, like, all these clips of, like, young Hugh Jackman during the shooting of the first X-Men movie.
Yes.
And, you know, just showing, like, this guy's been playing this part for almost 25 years.
Yeah.
And showing, like Ryan Reynolds in X-Men Origins Wolverine and, like, him talking about how he wanted to play Deadpool and how long of a journey it was to finally get to play Deadpool the way he wanted to play it. And they're showing clips from the Fantastic Four movie and they're showing all these, like, clips from I did think this was – I don't know if they couldn't get the rights to any of the Blade movies. They showed clips from Elektra. They showed – I don't know why we didn't see any of the Blade movies. Wesley Snipes was great in this movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if they partnered with someone else too, so they might not have him. But yeah, Blade was, yeah, that is funny. That was noticeably absent, but everything else, it was really like they show Ian McKellen and they show Patrick Stewart
and they even do X-Men First Class. They do James McAvoy and they do, you know, they show all this stuff and it's basically, you know, kind of what this movie is a, it is saying that you will never see another Marvel movie in the 20th Century Fox universe. It's done.
Yeah.
Like in the modern era, it kind of feels like the Disney Marvel cinematic universe is never going to end. It feels like there's no possible end in sight. So it's interesting to say, hey, there was this whole era from like 2000 to roughly like 2020 where there was the 20th Century Fox
and you know
universe, and that's over now.
Yeah, one thing we didn't really mention, one of the themes of this movie is endings.
Yeah.
It's about endings, and it's about, you know, obviously Deadpool wants to matter, but it's also like even the characters say like let's get a good send-off or something, you know. Uh-huh. Elektra's like let's go down in a fight or something. And so all these movies they get an ending. Blade ending.
It's giving Elektra a lot of It's giving a lot of characters who didn't really get right done by them.
Yes.
You know, like Elektra was supposed to have, she had her own movie and it was terrible.
I never saw it, but I heard it was terrible. I
mean, she was introduced in the terrible Daredevil movie. And there's a really funny joke in the movie about Ben Affleck that where, you know, Jennifer Garner gets to sort of wink at the, but
she does. This is the other thing. They make a divorce joke about Hugh Jackman.
Oh, with who?
He says he's really let himself go since the divorce.
Oh yeah.
And
I was like,
did they really like? Was that anyway? I need to look. But I was. It was basically the two things they make. They make a joke about Ben Affleck because they're like, oh, and Daredevil. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, no, it's okay. And he's like, okay. So
I know this movie was packed to the gills with cameos. It was Cameo City, and we got so many great cameos. I kind of wish we could have seen James Marsden or Famke Janssen or both of them in these, like, you know, like James Marsden showing up as Cyclops would have been really cool, especially given the relationship between Wolverine and Cyclops, you know,
that would have been, it would have had to have its own story though, because.
Right. But that's also a character that like never really, I felt like they did James Marsden so dirty in X-Men The Last Stand.
Yeah. This is the thing. I have been a Cyclops fan. I was always a Cyclops fan.
You were
more than a Wolverine fan. Yes, you remember that, right?
I do.
I was always a Cyclops fan. They still have not done enough by except for the new X-Men 97.
Yeah,
X-Men 97 gets Cyclops. The animated series got Cyclops, and they've done him well. No live action movie has done Cyclops well.
No,
it hasn't been done yet. No. And that's the thing that I want for these new movies is to prove that Cyclops is an important character. He doesn't not like Logan just because they don't like each other. It's because he's a leader. He doesn't really follow the rules. Anyway, they've got to do right by Cyclops. I'll leave it at that. I want that for the live action MCU Cyclops. They've got to do him right.
Let's talk about the tag really quick at the end of these credits, because it is fantastic. So there's a runner throughout the entire movie where, you know, we had Johnny Storm getting his skin ripped off by Cassandra Nova and turning into a puddle of bones and guts and blood. And the whole movie, Wolverine is kind of putting that on Deadpool, saying, you got that kid killed. You said he said a bunch of stuff that he didn't say. Yep. And the whole movie, Deadpool is insisting that he had nothing to do with it.
Yes.
That he was just repeating back things that Johnny actually said.
But he does it in a way that it's like, you can tell it looks like he's lying.
Yeah, it sounds, because again, like I said earlier in the podcast, it sounds like stuff that Ryan Reynolds would say. It sounds like stuff that Deadpool would say. So we get a tag to this movie where Deadpool says, listen, I'm tired of the slander. I'm tired of people saying that I got Johnny Storm killed. Okay. I've got the footage to prove it. And he plays security footage of them while they're getting transported earlier in the film to go see Cassandra Nova. Mm-hmm. And word for word, Chris Evans says all of the thing. And it's like this, like, it's the foulest, like most foul mouthed string. And like
horrible.
To hear Chris Evans say that stuff in a like the guy who played Captain America say that stuff in a Marvel movie. It's a really great little tag to the film.
So
it's,
funny.
Yeah, it's really it was really funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
Okay. They, so yeah, that is a whole movie. Should we get into the scale?
Let's get into it. Let's do our let's get into the scales. So technical achievement for Deadpool and Wolverine 2024, directed by Sean Levy. I think it's written by Ryan Reynolds and like four other people.
Yeah, it was so let me get the writers here. So Ryan Reynolds, Rhett Reese, and Paul Warnick, who are writing partners and who did the first movie, who are very talented. Zeb Wells, who I don't know, and Sean Levy. And it's all ampersand, which if you don't know, if there's an ampersand in the writing credit, it means that these people wrote it together. If the word "and" is written out, it means they wrote it separately.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. It's a WGA rule.
Okay.
If I'm right, I'm pretty sure that's the rule. So ampersands means they all wrote it together.
A little bit of fun union trivia there.
Yes.
About how the
union trivia. So yeah, if you see, cause sometimes they'll have an ampersand and the and sign, it means people wrote it together.
These two people wrote it together. These two, this guy wrote separately.
This guy came in later.
Right? Or this lady came in later.
Yes. Or you can get two writing credits in the same one, which they did with the, oh my goodness. Who did the Eternals? Is it Zhao?
Oh, Chloe Zhao.
Thank you. She got, two writing credits in the same movie because she wrote it with a partner and then she wrote it alone. Anyway, kind of fun trivia.
So, okay, Deadpool and Wolverine, technical achievement. Just once again, a reminder of how our scales work, folks. Technical achievement is that's just the over. We're talking about the craft of the film. So this is everything from cinematography to visual effects to choreography of and execution of action sequences to the execution of the plot and the writing, the acting. All of the technical craft and mastery of the film.
Yes.
For me, my technical score, and I listen, it's no surprise as we went through the breakdown, I really liked this movie.
Yeah.
I'm giving this movie an 8, which I feel like might sound kind of high.
Yeah.
But here's why I'm giving it an 8. Because I feel like the chips were stacked against them at this moment in the MCU. The MCU, in my opinion, has been down bad for a while and has been floundering and having a...
Deadpool even says it, and it's true.
Totally. This movie's very self-aware about the state of the MCU. It's really hard to introduce the Deadpool trilogy storyline into this current time in the MCU and try to make it feel cohesive. So is this screenplay perfect? Absolutely not. Are there things that could be fleshed out more? Totally. Are there are there things that feel a little too convenient or like, you know, the whole anchor being thing where it's like, if your anchor being dies, then your timeline dies. You know, that kind of, that feels like the No Way Home thing to me, where it's just sort of like they're coming up with a reason in the script to bring in a character from another universe that feels a little thin. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with everything they had to accomplish in this movie, doing right by Wolverine fans and making sure they honored what James Mangold did with the movie Logan, while also making it feel like a proper third entry into the Deadpool franchise, while really doing these two characters on screen together correctly. This is not the first time they've been on screen together. It is the second time. And the first time was a monumental failure and a terrible film. So the fact that they had to like get it right and get all these kind of difficult things to get right, there's so much kind of, there were so many obstacles in the way of making this movie in a way that was satisfying and fun to watch. I'm so impressed with how well Sean Levy balances all of those things, how well the script handles all of those things. I also think it's just a delight to watch two actors who have had really, really impressive careers, both in the roles that will define their careers. Like these are the roles. It's like watching like, you know, like Sean Connery play James Bond. Like if Sean Connery had played James Bond in The Last Crusade with Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones, and you're watching like two actors as the characters that they are, you know, that they will most be remembered for. And I think the overall, with the soundtrack, with the needle drops, with the cameos, I thought everything really, really landed for me. And so I'm giving this a pretty high technical score. 8.
That's high. I gave it a 7.
Okay.
And I think the biggest reason, I totally agree with everything that you said. The reason I gave it a 7 is because I think the writing, the story was good. But there were a few things, right? Like the Cassandra Nova, her motivations. It was a little like even Deadpool. I liked the fact that they gave him a reason. You knew exactly what he wanted and what he needed. Sometimes it was just a little bit thin. So it was good, but I think it could have been better. But they are juggling so much in this that I think 8 is appropriate. But I feel like 7 just because I, trying to think more objectively, there's a few things that could have been done better, but still, like, this movie was done really, really well. The structure's really good, right? You pretty much know where you are the whole time. The characters' motivations are clear for both Deadpool and Wolverine. Like, you get what's going on. So it did a really good job. So
I'm giving it that extra little point just for difficulty, for just being
the task
is hard and you pulled it off, you know, like,
I think that's very, very valid. Cause it is really hard, but it was also good. The fact that they could break the fourth wall and
talk
about Disney and like, yeah.
Well, anyway. it's so interesting because it's like, this is the role that will define Hugh Jackman's life. Yeah. But also it's like Ryan Reynolds is the kind of actor who's sort of always Ryan Reynolds in whatever he's doing. And he's sort of always looking out at the audience going, hey, it's me, Ryan Reynolds in The Adam Project, or hey, it's me, Ryan Reynolds in Free Guy, or hey, it's me. Like, he's all in Blade Trinity. It's hey, it's me, Ryan Reynolds. And so Deadpool is the perfect role for him because he can actually look out at the audience and go, hey, it's me, Ryan Reynolds, as Deadpool. Yeah. And it's like, it is the perfect vehicle for him and the perfect kind of character for him to inhabit.
Yeah.
Our next scale is rewatchability. And this is just how likely are you to want to rewatch this? How much does this movie lend itself to pleasant rewatching? Again, I'm going high here. Superhero movies in general are movies that are easy for me to rewatch just because they're built to be entertaining. So if I'm watching cable and there's a superhero movie on, I'm likely to go change the channel to that. And so I'm putting this one at 9 because it's living in a place in the MCU where I'm like, I can see myself wanting to watch this movie, you know, regularly, probably once every year or once every other year for the rest of my life. I think it's a fun enough movie and I think even the whole Deadpool trilogy is solid now. It's a solid 1, 2, 3 pack of films that I wouldn't mind returning to.
Yes. Yes. I think for this one, I think it is really rewatchable. I gave it an 8 probably because like, I'm sure that I will rewatch this. I don't think my wife will want to watch it. And then, you know, might be a little bit hard with all, it's a very hard R, but, it's very entertaining. I would rewatch it again. I don't know how well it's going to do if it has to be edited. That'll be interesting if it was on.
Oh, I was thinking about that, about like introducing this version of Wolverine and this Deadpool into the 616 timeline of the MCU and going, how are you going to do that? And personally, I'm like, could be pretty funny if they show up in Secret Wars or Avengers or something like that. And just, they're constantly bleeped.
Yeah.
It could just be a funny thing where they're speaking. And they're pointing out that they're getting bleeped. Yeah.
They do a bad dub.
Yeah.
Of Ryan Reynolds saying something else like, you know, like flowers, you know, or so, yeah, you know, like, and it's or when he very punked, apparently, you know, not him saying.
He does something violent and they like blur it out or something, like when so Deadpool gets they do some kind of funny.
That's what they should do if they ever broadcast this. That's what they should do to add an even funnier layer to the movie. So if it's ever on ABC, like they should just bleep it out funny, or just dub it really poorly so that it adds another layer to the joke.
Yeah.
Funny. Anyway, but it's an 8 for me on rewatchability.
The ending. This is just our score on how well we feel like this movie wraps up. So a lot of movies can be really, really good the entire time. We were talking before we started recording about the movie Glass by M. Night Shyamalan and how, like, that's a trilogy where you've got a really great first movie, a really great second movie, and a really interesting first two acts of a third movie. And it's just a trilogy that does not stick the ending. So this is our score on how does a movie land. And again, I'm going high here. I'm giving it an 8. I dock points for the Guardians of the Galaxy ripoff and for the fact that Cassandra Nova is just kind of a little bit of a an underdrawn character, but I gotta give it points for how wonderful the multiple Deadpool fight scene is, even if it takes place on a soundstage that's obviously a soundstage. I don't mind. I think it's so well executed and so much fun. And the movie definitely builds to a really solid climax there.
It does. That's the exact score and pretty much the exact reason why I gave it an 8 as well. The fact that we get the mask in the end and that fight scene makes it so much fun. And then, you know, the ending when they're holding hands, like, yeah, it is ripping off Guardians of the Galaxy, but it still worked. Like, I actually, like, you kind of see them both getting this redemption, and it was actually a pretty cool way to do it. So I think it sticks to the landing pretty well. Some of the things, but an 8, solid 8 for sure.
Yeah, the movie's called Deadpool and Wolverine, so it's not going to be one of them saving the day. It's going to be both of them holding hands and saving the day. Together. Cultural impact. This is just basically, now this is hard for movies that are new for us to do. When we're reviewing movies that are older, it's easier to kind of say the impact that it's had on the culture, but we sort of have to guess with new movies. I'm putting right here as my guess 7, because I don't know, so I don't want to guess too high, but I mean 7 as like a compliment, because I really do feel like this has the potential to reinvigorate some much needed life into the MCU. And also, like, this movie already has made its mark. It is now the highest grossing rated R film of all time. And so it already has made a major mark on the culture in just a few weeks in the box office. It's and so I'm going to say 7 overall, because I don't think that this is going to be a movie that, like, changes movies for the rest of all time, the way that, like, The Matrix does, or, you know, something like the first X-Men from the year 2000, which is probably something we should do on a future episode. Yes. Oh, but, you know, or like Avengers Endgame. I don't think it's quite that level, but it does feel like one of the bigger moments in the MCU in this latest phase.
Yeah, I was a little bit more generous on this because I gave it an 8. Mm-hmm. You might be more correct, because I don't know if it's going to change things, but I gave it an 8 because it is the highest grossing domestic rated R movie. It'll probably overtake worldwide as well. I wouldn't be surprised. But it's the highest domestic rated R movie, and it is kind of resetting a lot of things. And I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. It's not going to inspire them, like, completely change their lives, but it's a funny movie. It's a way to make a fun movie. Like, I personally, action comedy is like one of my favorite genres, and this is, you know, I love it. So basically the money that it's made, I'm giving it an 8.
Solid. And then the last score is just the subjective score. And this is just regardless of what we think about the craft, regardless of what we think about the ending, regardless of what we think about the cultural impact or the ending, how much do we individually subjectively like this movie? And for me, I've said online, and I truly believe this, this is my favorite MCU film since Endgame. And I know that that's sort of the online rubric lately for MCU movies, is like, everybody says this is the best one since Endgame, because this latest phase has just been very hit or miss. This is my personal favorite Marvel movie that I've seen since Endgame. And I gave it an 8.5. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I can't wait to watch it again. That's my subjective score.
Subjectively, that's my exact same score as well. 8.5. Had a ton of fun. I was expecting there to be a lot of fourth wall breaking, and that's what I got, which was great. I was expecting there to be great action sequences. That's what I got. I was expecting to see Wolverine's mask. That's what I got. It gave me everything that I wanted. Obviously, there are flaws with the movie, but I loved it. I had so much fun in the movie theater watching this movie. Like, it was a great time, and that's what I want to have in a movie theater, is I want to have a great time. And it gave me that, and it gave me a good story, great action. So I loved it.
Me too. All right. Okay. That's it. That is Deadpool and Wolverine. Let us know in the comments what you thought of Deadpool and Wolverine. Like and share and subscribe to this podcast and do all of those things, and let everybody know that we're doing this. We're two more white guys on the internet talking about movies, and you know you need that. You need that. Okay, so little fourth wall break there for you. All right, buddy.
Okay.
Pleasure to talk to you as always. Yeah. Everybody, thank you for being here with us, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
We'll see you later.